Welcome to this week's News Talk. This is the audio recording of our broadcast live on social media channels where Stephanie and I talk about three hot stories in the news. During this live session, we chat with English learners from across the world. It's a really enjoyable way to practice listening to natural English and learn some new vocabulary each week. Let's go.
Hello and welcome everybody to the latest in our edition of News Talk. My name is Stephanie. I'm Head of Educational Content here at Perfectly Spoken, and I'm delighted to be joined by David. Hi, David.
Hello, Stephanie, and hello, everybody. Yes, I'm David Diego. I'm the Managing Director of Perfectly Spoken, and I've been a teacher for many years. And
it's I'm not going to ask you how many.
Thank you. And it's great to be here with you today.
So if you've joined us before, which I hope you have, you'll know what happens in this session. Simply put, me and David will be discussing key stories around the world that are making headlines. So there'll be lots for you to talk about. We'd like you to send in your comments, say hello, tell us you're watching. And if you've got an opinion, something you'd like to tell us about the stories, that would be great too.
Yes, please. Please do send in your comments, your opinions, chat in the box. And it's always going to be interesting to see and hear what you think as well.
Absolutely. So I think we should start by finding out what our three stories are going to be about this week. Let's have a look at our first slide here. So these are the three stories we're going to be discussing, and we've given you some clues as to what they're about.
So, any ideas? I think the first one there is patriotic something at Davos. That's the World Economic Forum in Switzerland. And it's somebody or people who are asking to pay more tax. That's quite unusual.
Very unusual. And that's why I like this story, because it's unexpected. It's not what we normally read about. It's not what you normally hear. So we'll be finding out, why do people want to pay more tax? Who are these people?
And then in the second one, it's a more somber one. It's a much more serious story, but it's very important. And there's lots of important vocabulary, because everybody needs and wants to talk about things in the news. And this is about 19 children who were killed in, where were they killed? In a school shooting.
Yeah. So this story, we're looking for the country. Do you know which country this terrible tragedy happened in? And we will be discussing that. That's our second story today. And then moving on to our third story, I'm sure lots of you will recognize the super famous lady in the picture.
All dressed in bright colours, in yellow. I think she's about 96 at the moment. And I think it'd be very difficult not to have seen this lady in the news over the past couple of days. So please let us know who you think she is and the answers to the other questions. And hello to everybody who's joining us. There are so many of you. And thanks very much for your hellos.
Absolutely. Now, the idea here is that we're going to be talking about these stories. And as we do, we're asking you to listen out for some key vocabulary. So important to hear vocabulary used in context. So listen out for the key words and expressions, and then we'll look at them in more detail at the end. Shall we get started, David?
Indeed. Yes. And thank you, Zanya. Yes, somebody's got it right already. Yes, let's start with the first one.
Okay, so our first story here, patriotic millionaires, that was the missing word. Patriotic millionaires at Davos, and they're saying, tax us more. Now, that's why I like this story, as I said before, because it's so unusual. You don't often hear people asking to pay more tax. Now, this story is all about a group of millionaires and billionaires who have joined forces with other groups, other socialists, climate activists and locals, to protest at the World Economic Forum in Davos. Now, why are they protesting? What are they protesting about? Well, it's their opinion. They're presenting this united front to say that the ultra wealthy should actually be paying more tax. Now, so, ultra wealthy, I'm talking about billionaires and millionaires. So not your average person, David.
No, indeed. And I was looking at some interesting statistics about this. I don't know what people think. Do you think the ultra wealthy, the super rich, should be paying more tax? I read one report where there is one new billionaire created every 17 hours.
That's incredible.
That's amazing. And the countries, do you know which countries have the most billionaires?
Ooh, I don't. Any Maybe idea? Somebody would like to have a guess in the chat. Countries with the most, did you say billionaires?
Yeah, billionaires rather than millionaires. There are about just over 2,000 billionaires in the world. And which country do you think has the most billionaires?
So I think that's a good one to type in the chat if you've got any idea. Which country do you think, or which countries, perhaps your country, you think there are a lot of ultra wealthy people in your country? Type us a message in the comments. Let us know what you think.
And I think this story, the whole point of this story is that millionaires and billionaires can see that the tax system means that people who are very wealthy, who have a huge amount of money, are not paying as much proportionally as poorer people. And they say that's just not fair.
Absolutely. I can see that Janutz is guessing America. I would go with America as well, Janutz. I think that's a possibly a safe bet there, David?
Well, actually, America comes third. Apparently, China and Hong Kong produced the most. That's in 2010. 2020.
Gregorio is also guessing America. Good guess America. There.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought, Gregorio. It could only be the USA, but apparently not.
Qatar, that's another good guess there.
An interesting one, yeah.
Habibuddin, yes.
And again, another statistic, which I think I find very uncomfortable, really. I don't know what people think about it, but the 1% of the world's population have more wealth than 6.9 billion people in the world. That's half the planet. That's something. I don't know what people think about that one.
Well, we've got some comments coming in. Zanya saying that in his opinion, opulent people like millionaires and or billionaires must pay more taxes and adhere to. That's a good verb, isn't it? Follow the rules for sure. And I think that's the interesting point here, that this particular group of ultra wealthy people are saying, OK, we do pay tax, but we can afford more. And just by us paying a little bit more won't make a massive impact for us, but it will have a huge impact on other people, on lifting people out of poverty.
And poorer people out of poverty. And of course, we know of billionaires who are very generous, for example, you know, like Bill Gates from Microsoft, the Gates Foundation. They actually give about $4 billion worth in charitable causes every year. But, you know, that the reality, that's about 3% of their wealth. And other billionaires give, but very, very little in comparison to the amount of money, amount of wealth they have.
And I think there's a nice idiomatic expression there, a drop in the ocean. And I think that kind of encapsulates it, doesn't it? For them, it's such a tiny amount. It's a drop in the ocean. They wouldn't really miss the money.
So shall we have a look at the vocabulary?
Absolutely.
Then?
Let's have a look then. So we were looking at these expressions. Hopefully you heard us use these expressions as we were talking about this story. First of all, we've got ultra wealthy, the extremely rich. So we're talking about millionaires and billionaires here.
And of course, ultra as a prefix, we can use it in lots of other contexts, can't we? Ultra rich, we could say ultra. I think lots of people use it to exaggerate as well, don't they? You know, it was ultra expensive, you know,
absolutely
super expensive.
It's a nice prefix to use, definitely. So moving on then, we've got joined forces. So this group joined forces. They worked together for a common cause. So they joined forces. They worked with other people for a common cause. And they presented a united front. So again, this idea of people from different backgrounds or organizations coming together for a common goal. So they've got a goal that they all agree with, and they're coming together to support this.
And as you were saying there, Stephanie, united, to unite, to come together. So the front is the movement or the campaign. So you've got people from many different backgrounds, possibly from the left, possibly from the right, but coming together and sharing a common objective, a common goal.
Okay, let's move on then to our second story.
Yeah, this was rather a difficult one to choose, but we thought it's quite important to be able to talk about these things and the story behind this story. So this is about that everybody knows. Yeah, there were 19 children and two teachers who were killed in what was described as a mass casualty incident event in a school in Texas. And this in itself is another example of gun violence in the United States. And I think it was really telling when the president appeared on television to talk about it, to address the nation. He was visibly shaken.
I think that's a really good point there, David, that these tragic events do happen globally. And of course, it's important that we do talk about them and we do have the vocabulary to talk about them so we can express what we want to say in the right manner.
And I think possibly, you know, what we would be quite interested in is to hear what you think about, you know, the ownership of guns. I don't know if you know, but for example, in the United States, the number of guns per 100 residents. Any ideas what that one is, Stephanie? I don't know if you've seen this.
I haven't seen that statistic. Can anybody help in the chat? What do we think?
So for every 100 people, how many guns do you think that they own?
Any ideas? Type in the comments.
I can tell you it is far, far more than any other country. And while you're thinking of that, I mean, another statistic here is that in 2020, 45,000 Americans died by gun. That was either by homicide, where somebody kills somebody else, or suicide, where they kill themselves. That's a 25% increase over 5 years.
I mean, when we talk about a topic like this, the statistics really are very interesting, aren't they? I looked, for example, and found out that last year, that's in 2021, 13 US soldiers were killed on duty, 62 police officers killed on duty, 141 firefighters. But when we talk about gun violence and specifically children, 1,560.
Wow.
So the increase in numbers, really shocking.
It's quite staggering. And I think, as Gregorio says, it is possibly the biggest error, the biggest mistake that the US have made. But you might have a different opinion. Obviously, it sort of splits between the two sides, those who believe you should have more guns to protect yourself and those who think you shouldn't have any guns or it should be tightly controlled. In fact, apparently in the United States, there's 120 guns per 100 residents.
Wow.
So more than one gun per person.
I would not have said that. I was going to guess around 70.
It's and then actually the second country after that is something like the Yemen, I believe, where it's 50 per 100. And what is also a little bit scary, I feel, is that, you know, the proportion of deaths in the US that caused by guns is a massive 79%. In comparison, in the UK, and I'm not saying we are perfect by any means, it's 4%. That's the difference.
A big difference there. Gregorio saying from his point of view, people shouldn't be allowed to buy guns. Of course, it's a controversial issue, isn't it? The important thing I think here is that we're using vocabulary to talk about it and to increase our ability to discuss issues like this.
Yeah, and Gregorio, that's interesting. Mm. You're in Italy saying they have about 5 guns per 1,000 people. That's an interesting statistic there. But of course, you do have the, you know, the gun lobby who argue that, you know, and even in this case, they're saying that possibly it's the teachers who should have guns so that they can protect the students. And it's the problem is with the people who own the guns, not the guns.
Of course, that's the other side to the coin, isn't it? And, you know, to present that sort of balanced front, as we said, it is a controversial issue.
Yeah. And Sarah's saying there that, you know, they should have a law that forbids children to own guns. I mean, that's I would have thought that's a pretty good policy to follow.
Absolutely. Should we have a look at some of the vocabulary here, David?
Yeah, so we were saying it's a mass casualty. So as we know, so a mass is a large number, a large number of people. And casualty is when somebody is killed or injured. So mass casualty, a situation where large numbers of people are killed or injured.
And then we had gun violence. So the use of guns with the intention, with the aim, with the goal of hurting people. And we can substitute different nouns in here. I mean, obviously, today we've been talking about gun violence, but we could also talk about knife violence, which, of course, is a problem in the UK.
And that, I don't know if anybody saw President Biden, but when he was talking, he was visibly shaken. You could see he was emotionally, he was very upset. He was shaking. And I think finally on this, I think there's an interesting point that Shirley makes that most former students who return to schools to commit these types of crime have possibly suffered bullying in their school years. I think that's very likely indeed. But I don't know how that helps or what we can do. It's a very big issue, this one, isn't it?
Absolutely. Okay, moving on to our third story. Okay, so a shift in focus here. Of course, we're talking about the Queen, the Queen's Platinum Jubilee celebrations, and a really lovely picture of her there, looking lovely in yellow and smiling. And we saw quite a lot of her over the past couple of days because Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, has been very busy celebrating her Platinum Jubilee with members of her close family and celebrating 70 years of service to her country. And to celebrate, we had a very special 4-day bank holiday weekend with lots of different events taking place up and down the country. And of course, London being the main focal point, the epicenter of the celebrations, and lots of people tuning in to live broadcasts to watch the Queen celebrate.
It is interesting, isn't it? And of course, it was great for us because we had that, as you say, 4-day bank holiday. So we had 2 extra days. Thank you very much. It was very nice. Now, I wonder how many of our students actually are interested or even watched anything about the celebrations. Maybe they saw the Queen with Paddington Bear, which I believe became a very, very popular hit on YouTube.
I certainly like that one, David. I think it showed great sense of humour. I mean, of course, she's 96 now, but yeah, still willing to take part in these sketches and still willing to be seen and to join in with the celebrations.
And I thought, and obviously we thought we'd have a little bit of fun, and I thought I'd test Stephanie with some of about her knowledge of the Queen. So If anybody can help, then please do.
Please do help. So these are not just questions for me. I'd like your help with these as well. So please do use the comment box to type in your comments to help me with these questions. I'm not sure what David's going to ask.
Okay, question number one. Does the Queen live in Buckingham Palace? That's an easy one.
Well, I think I know the answer to that one. So if anyone would like to type in, do you have any ideas? If she doesn't live there, where do you think she might reside? Where do you think she might live? In London?
Okay. And while you're thinking about that, is the second question is, how many birthdays does she have?
You see, I know the answer to that one as well, David. You need to give me a harder one. I think I know the answer to that one as well.
A harder one. And on a more serious note, and I think, Zanya, and we do like the serious points as well, is that, yes, the one thing that interested Zanya was the idea of bringing, of reuniting the royal family so that Prince Harry and Princess Meghan were also at the celebrations as well. I think that's a really interesting point.
And I think the good point there is that, I mean, obviously for us, she's our queen, but she's also a grandmother and a great grandmother. And so I think there's that aspect as well, that of course for her to celebrate with her sons and daughters and grandchildren and great-grandchildren meant a lot. Gregorio's guessing, I think she lives in the other castle. Is that Windsor Castle?
I think he's right there. So the Queen doesn't actually live in Buckingham Palace. She stays there when she has official visits, doesn't she?
Yes.
And then my second question, Stephanie.
Yes, I'm going to guess two birthdays. Now, wouldn't she that be fantastic to have two birthdays?
I know. Why can she have two birthdays and we can't everybody else?
Exactly. So, yes, she has one. I think her actual birthday is in April. But I think is April the 21st?
Oh, well done.
But her official birthday with the public celebrations takes place in June when the weather is much better.
Okay, and I've got a more difficult one for you. So how old was she when she became queen, and how old was she when she was crowned, when she had her coronation?
Okay, well, I think she was crowned when she was 27. In yes. 1953, but her father died the year before, and they had to obviously observe an official mourning period after the death of her father before she could be crowned queen. Gregorio's saying 25.
Correct, because well her done, birthday, Gregorio. Her father died before her 26th birthday, so it looks like it was 2 years, whereas in fact it was just
it
one
was just
year.
One, yes. I think he died on February the 6th in 1952. But of course, then they had to observe this period of mourning. So, yes, she's been in the spotlight for a very, very long time.
And a final question. What language is she fluent in?
Ooh.
I wonder if anyone like knows.
To guess here.
What language is she fluent in?
Zanya saying, I assumed she was 16. No, she's a bit older than that, but still very young, Zanya.
Yeah.
I'd guess French.
You are correct. She's fluent in French, and apparently she does speak in French when she's entertaining French-speaking dignitaries, which I think very impressive.
Very accomplished lady. David, did you watch any of the celebrations?
I certainly did. It was great. I thought it was wonderful. And I thought the imagery that they created, that they projected onto the palace was amazing. It was absolutely fantastic.
And I think one of the things which was reinforced a lot over this 4-day bank holiday was that this is a once in a lifetime experience. We're not going to see another monarch celebrating a platinum jubilee, so a very, very special time.
And I think what's also interesting is how popular the Queen is, and whether that popularity will will. Thank you, Shirley.
I like that one, Shirley.
We joke that the Queen is immortal. That she is extremely popular. Apparently, 81% of the population here see it positively. And most people support continuing with the monarchy, and only about 25-27% are in favour of a republic. I wonder what other people think about if you've got a royal family in your countries, or your president, are they popular?
Again, please do type a message in the comments, let us know. Shall we have a look at the vocabulary here, David?
Absolutely.
So hopefully, as we were talking, you noticed and you picked up on us using these words. So we talked a lot, of course, about Her Majesty. And this is the title that is used when addressing or talking about the Queen.
So when you meet the Queen, Stephanie, the first time you address her as Your Majesty.
Yes. Absolutely, and then Your Majesty.
Now you're chatting with the Queen, how then do you refer to her?
Mom?
You say Mom, yes. So you only say Her Majesty first time and then Mom. So
you see, I'm ready to meet the Queen, David.
I hope everybody finds that useful when they meet the Queen.
Absolutely. And of course, we were talking about her Platinum Jubilee. A Platinum Jubilee is a celebration of 70 years, which again, as we said, is something that we're unlikely to experience again.
Because she had her Golden, which was?
Her Golden Jubilee, anybody? I'm going with 50.
Indeed. And Silver, of course?
25.
Indeed. And so Platinum is very, very rare. And then finally, Stephanie was talking about, or we were talking about, the bank holiday, the 4-day bank holiday we all enjoyed. And it's the day, it's an official day when businesses are closed. And originally, of course, it was when banks were closed. And that's why it became known as a bank holiday.
Yes, so we've enjoyed a nice 4-day weekend there, 4 days off work, but back to normal again this week, David.
Indeed. But one final question, actually. So is the Queen, which the longest reigning monarch ever? So is the Queen the longest reigning monarch? Because 70 years is a long time.
I'd say yes.
She is certainly the longest British reigning monarch, but the longest reigning monarch in the world ever, according to my research, was King Louis XIV of France, who was monarch for 72 years.
Ooh,
but okay. He did start when he was 4. So he was...
He had a head start. He had a head start there. Really interesting there, David.
So thank you, everybody. And Gregorio, I also agree. She's an icon. And the monarchy is a form of business today. It's a fantastic business for the UK. So only on that form. If you're a Republican, I think you could still support the monarchy. It's good for our country.
Absolutely. And thank you to all of you for typing in and sharing your comments on our stories today. I enjoyed talking through these stories and I really hope you all enjoyed taking part as well.
Indeed. Thanks very much for joining us. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you've learned a little bit. And we definitely hope we will see you next week when
time,
we look at some
place.
Some more stories in the news. And don't forget, go to the website if you want more of these new stories. We create new ones every week. It's got really interesting, useful exercises, and it's all there. So thanks for joining us again.
See you same time, same place next week. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening. Join us next week for the latest news talk. And if you'd like to participate in the live sessions, simply check out our social media channels for more information.